inhabited. So this is before anything happens. This is while in their condition, they might not see the people yet. God has not sent the fruitfulness of the Gentiles converting to Christianity. They're not experiencing this growth. They're not experiencing this fruitfulness. And the command that God's giving them is this. Hey, listen, you're going to experience growth. I need you to create the space. I need you to build. I need, back then it's the tents, amen? And so I just want you to understand that growth always has a way of revealing itself. Our job is to prepare for it. Our job is to always prepare for growth because we just don't know when it's coming. And look at it this way. When your children are aching or, I don't know, sometimes they come to you, oh, my knees hurt or my legs hurt, my arms hurt, and they're trying to explain to you that, hey, you know, I'm hurting. They don't understand what it is. They're aches, right? The doctor will explain that these are called growing pains, right? It's just part of growth. And so I just want you to know in the same way that our church is not experiencing weakness. It's not experiencing sickness in our church. What it is proof of is that something is stretching out of our comfort zone, so to speak. On some days, I thank God for the crowd that's here today. But on some days, it's getting to the place where, you know, most of the services, the three services, are just ending up to full capacity. Well, we could work on Thursday night, but here's the thing. Where are we going to put the people? Let's say we do work on Thursday. Where are we going to put them? You say, well, Pastor, we could do it in the foyer. Okay, we'll do that. And then? Well, we can knock down the walls. We can do that. And then? What I'm trying to explain, here's the truth. God, again, he commands preparation before the growth comes, before he sends the people. And that's why you and I need to prepare. We always need to be prepared. What are we going to do when visitors come? I appreciate Brother Chuck. Amen. I always enjoy when you're in town. Amen. And not overseas, but I understand you have to do what you have to do. Because he has a natural way of speaking to people. I mean, he knows no stranger, I think. Amen. I don't know, Miss Carla, would you agree with me? Amen. He can talk just about to anybody. I don't know. But I noticed that we had 6 first-time visitors last Sunday. It's helpful when we have someone that, especially for the 6 visitors, when they have a good first impression of our church. It's helpful when someone can approach them. But I'm going to tell you something. Brother Chuck didn't know they were. Did you know? I don't know. Did you know they were coming? No, we didn't know. And this is why it's so important for us to be prepared. It's so important for us to be ready. And the way we do that, my friends, it's a first impression. It's being kind, being hospitable, being welcoming. Another way we can do that is, here's the thing, and I dropped the ball on that. I've asked people to just give somebody a Connect card, a first-time visitor. Guess what? I don't have their information, amen? And Ms. Deborah, that like irks me, but it's something that it's just part of growing, right? It's a growing pain. I need to be better prepared. I need to ask the right people. My point that I'm trying to make is God's not going to give me a heads up or a warning. Hey, Zeke. God calls me Zeke. You know, he doesn't call me Pastor. He calls me Zeke. He's like, hey, guess what? This next Sunday, you're going to have 6 first-time visitors. And praise the Lord for the visitors. That's healthy growth. But what I'm trying to tell you is God often commands for us to be prepared before he sends the people. A way we can be prepared is if you can help me out, anyone, I don't care who takes it over. I know I need to let somebody else know, but just get a Connect card and then hand it to someone. I would rather them feel, not overwhelmed, but feel like, you know what? Man, everybody approached me about this Connect card. It must be important. I probably should fill it out. Amen? See, now I don't have that contact information that I need for the mother to come to church. They came to visit the church due to the mom and the dad who was not here. But it's a lost opportunity. And shame on me. Again, shame on me, because God, again, often is trying to command us to prepare. right? I need to be better prepared. So I just want you to understand, farmers do the same thing. When the fields begin to produce more than expected, what it does, it applies pressure. Now where are they going to put the feed? Where are they going to put that in the barns, right? Well, the barns only have a certain limited amount of capacity. Well, suddenly what happens? The storage feels small. And I'm going somewhere with this because this is what God is talking about. God is talking about, look, you got to make a pathway. You got to make a system. You got to work. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm bringing the growth. And my friends, why should God continue to bless us with growth or visitors if we're not prepared? Right? And again, shame on me. It's nobody's fault. I just want you to understand that the harvest is not the problem. Okay? The harvest is not the problem. The problem is I'm not prepared enough, or if you can help me, church, we need to get prepared for the harvest, to make room for the harvest. And what growth does, it exposes the simple fact. It exposes the fact that we lack room, right? We lack the space. That's the truth. Amen? And so I want to share Isaiah 54 because I noticed that Israel here isn't overflowing. But yet when God speaks to them, he's talking to them about what? Increase, about growth, about fruitfulness. And I don't know why we don't claim these things, but he's saying, hey, when they come, you need to enlarge your tents. Amen? Enlarge, right? It says, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be what? Inhabited. Hey, you're going to grow. You're going to experience growth. You're going to bring increase. But listen, start preparing for that. Start preparing for that. Here's my first point I'd like to share with you. God's blessing often outgrows our comfort. God's blessing often outgrows our comfort. At Victory Baptist Church, I think that's what we're experiencing at this exact moment. We're not dealing with the crisis, but what we are experiencing is growth. And so I know right now spaces are crowded. We're trying to do a structure that is efficient for the church and something we're trying to work around the volunteers. I know sometimes we don't have the volunteers now. We need 3 assistants now. And it's part of it. It's part of the growing pains. And I truly believe that God's going to bless it. Here's the thing. We shouldn't complain about it. Do you agree? Like, what are we going to tell our child that's experiencing growing pains? Well, you should get over it. Is that what we're going to tell them? Are we going to tell them, well, it's inconvenient for me right now. I can't. No, we're not going to do that. We're parents, right? We're going to take care of the situation, try to make them feel what? As comfortable as possible, correct? Right? That's part of what someone in authority does. Amen? And I want you to know that God's blessing often outgrow our comfort. Isaiah, again, 54:2 says, enlarge the place of thy tent. Back in the Bible times, obviously, people lived in the tents. And a tent was the only big space that you prepared. Amen? That's where they lived. That's where they stayed. And if the family grew, you know, one thing that they found out quickly was that the tent didn't grow with it. Amen? It just didn't. So people got crowded. And because of that, there was a problem. So it was either the tent was too small or they needed to buy a new tent. Amen? But see, that's exactly what God is saying here. God is telling Israel to enlarge the tent before the people arrive. Enlarge the tent before the people arrive. Don't just wait there and be uncomfortable. Right? Amen? You say, well, Pastor, I just don't like being uncomfortable. Well, this is the best advice I can give you. Get uncomfortable on purpose. If you're the type of person that likes being comfortable, then get uncomfortable on purpose. If you like a certain way to come to church, let me give you an example. Maybe this will help you. Take another route. Well, what? That doesn't make sense. It'll help you, I promise you. Because now you're doing something differently. If you're so used to being comfortable, here's the thing that God's going to tell us to do. He's going to say, stretch it. Lengthen it. Well, yeah, but I don't want to. Well, I'm going to tell you, the reason he's telling us to do that is because he's blessing us. It's not a curse. Are you listening? It's not a curse. God is blessing. So his blessings, here's the truth, rarely stays within boundaries. It rarely feels safe, and it rarely feels comfortable. That's not who God is. Do you think it was comfortable for Jesus? Amen. You're talking about an increase. He loved the world. Amen. So he prepared his pathway to the cross so he can save the world. But do you think the cross was comfortable? What did he have to do? Get uncomfortable. Sometimes that's what we're going to have to do. Amen. Comfort says, we've always done it this way, us four and no more, right? But you know what faith says? God is about to do something. He's about to do something great. He's about to do something more. Amen? I want you to know Victory Baptist Church. I think that's where we're standing at right now. I love routines. I'm a person of habit. I truly believe there's if you do good habits and you're consistent at them and you hold yourself accountable, you become successful. I've worked that formula over and over and over and over again. But you got to understand, you have to have some adaptability, some flexibility sometimes, because not everything goes according to plan. Even if you are consistent, even if you do have good habits, you still have to hold yourself accountable. And sometimes things don't turn out the way that you want. So guess what you have to do? You have to own up, take the responsibility. This didn't work out this way. Let me adjust. That's where accountability comes in, and you go to someone and say, hey, do you see this now? The route I'm going this way? Do you think this works? You think this is the path I need to take? My point that I'm trying to make is, as much as I love routine, I always have to be flexible. And my friends, that would be a help, because what I've noticed here, man, I mean, I don't ask God permission for the blessing. Hey, God, can you please not send any more people? That's not how this works. It's not how it works, is it? Hey, God, can you just wait for that growth until we build? Like, I can't ask God permission when or when not to send that, right? We have to be realistic. God's going to do his work. You know what we need to do? Is be on God's side. If we realize that God is the one blessing, God is the one that sends the growth, we're going to understand this. There's going to be pressure. Oh, there's going to be pressure. The overall truth is very simple. God often commands preparation before he sends the people. God demands increase. That's what he demands. This is why this makes sense. Schools, when they build schools, you know they build it with the mindset of growth. They don't build it for the exact amount of students, right? Hospitals, you know when they build hospitals, they don't build it with the exact amount of people. They build it with growth. This is the system that works. This is how God works. That's why this is logical for us to think and get to the mindset of, hey, you know what? The same is true today. If God is preparing us, then we should embrace it. We should get to that place where, hey, you know what? Am I going to want to feel comfortable, or do I want to be obedient? That's what it comes down to, right? Do I want to feel comfortable, or do I want to be obedient? So, why is God asking Victory Baptist Church to stretch? It's not because we're failing. It's because we're growing. And I've seen how God's used some of you and how he continues to bless some of you, not only in numbers, but spiritual growth. That's part of this too. Here's what I want you, Luke chapter 14, verse 23. I want you to go there real quick. Because what we're talking about is faith stretches. Faith brings increase. And honestly, God is only, he only fills the spaces that we're willing to make, man. That's the truth. Luke 14:23 says this, "And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the what? Highways, of 110, and the hedges, that's 285, and compel them to come in, that my house may be what?" That word compelled, I like it because it's persuading lovingly or lovingly persuading someone. It's not dictating or making somebody come. We sometimes think that's what it is, but it's not. I like that verse because what it's showing me here that faith builds first, then it sees fruit. This portion of scripture is talking about the banquet in Luke chapter 14, right? And the Lord said unto the servant, yeah. And you know what God was commanding? Or what he was saying? That preparation precedes growth. He's saying, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to what? That my house may be what? You need a space to fill. Am I right? So God doesn't just want spaces to be emptied. He doesn't just want spaces to be monuments or places to hang out. He wants to fill them, right? And with that in mind, I want us to understand, Victory Baptist Church, that God sometimes going to send people faster than we can keep up with. That's the truth. And so I want us to know that the goal is to reach people with the gospel. That's really it. If it means we have to put out a tent here or rent a tent and have services there, I mean, that's what we'll do. I know it's not comfortable. I know it's probably something I don't want to do that. I'll be honest with you. Amen. I'm a city boy, not a country boy. But I've gone hunting, so amen. I got used to that. Amen. I don't want to do that. But you know what the end goal is? The gospel. You know what the end goal is? To reach people for Christ. And if God's going to send them, then guess what, Pastor Rivera? You're going to have to get uncomfortable, right? Because the goal is not comfort. The goal is for people to stay in heaven, to reach them with the gospel. Amen? So that's how enlarging starts. Here's the second point. Faith builds first, then sees fruit. Again, Isaiah 54:2, it said, enlarge the place of thy tent. And then it says, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Again, faith builds first, then sees the fruit. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, by what? Faith, unseen, right? By not looking, by not seeing it happen, he went out first, took the step, and obeyed. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as of yet. What were the things that were not seen as of yet at that time? Rain that fell from the sky? Floods? Amen? Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by what? He moved into action because he believed God, not because he saw the result, not because he saw it physically. This is before it happened, before God brought the rain. Guess what Noah did? He built an ark. That ark saved his family, which, by the way, was also when people were condemned, right, because of the flood. Folks, the goal is the gospel. The goal is seeing people saved. But Noah never built something because he saw a storm before. He'd never seen that happen. But you know who told him it was coming? God. Man, God is giving us warning. It's coming. Are we prepared? Are we obeying? Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I just want you to understand, sometimes we're not going to see the clouds. Sometimes we're not going to feel the rain. We're not. Amen? We're not going to even see the proof. Sometimes all we're going to receive from God is the promise. God builds his church. God brings the what? Increase. That's the promise. It's not my job to do that. My job is to prepare for his promise. Your job is to prepare for his promise. Amen? That's how faith works. Faith, there's no evidence. You just got to move based off of God's word. If God commands it, so be it. Amen? The overall truth here is that God, again, often commands preparation before he sends the people. And I just want you to understand that when we're preparing, and praise the Lord, we have multiple options here. When we're preparing, we're not acting out of recklessness. You follow me? We're trying to be wise. We're trying to count the cost, right? We're not just jumping into. That's why we started the building initiative in 2025. Regardless of what came in, amen? That final number, what was it? Can you help me out? What was the final number? Do you know the building fund, Secretary? 18, over 18. Over 18, some change? 1,000? 18,650? Amen. And praise the Lord for that. Amen? Listen, that's preparation. You say, Pastor, I don't like that number. Again, it's not going to be comfortable. What we have to do is the preparation part. He brings the increase part. Does that make sense? We don't see the million. I don't see it. I don't see the building. We just have to go by obedience and his promise. Marriage is kind of that way. We live in a day and age where people say, if you don't like it, replace it. Thank you, Ms. Shantae. Amen. If you don't like it, replace it. But that's not marriage. You got to live by faith. In order for it to work, right? You can't see the... Man, I think when I was preaching there at the youth rally, I asked... there while I was preaching, you know how I am, very random. Amen. I asked the pastor's daughter, Pastor Roy's daughter, Lena, how long her parents have been married for. I think she said 53 years. I promise you, when they started, they didn't see, oh, 53 years. It took faith. It took believing in God. It took working together, compromising, communicating, making sure that each other are seen, working through the problems. You know, it's a cycle, marriage, and I'm going to be teaching on that Sunday mornings. I have a series, so I don't want to jump the gun on that. But it takes faith. It takes faith. Anything in life that's going to grow, that God's going to bring the increase to, it's going to be by faith. It's not going to be by us having all the answers or it being very comfortable. It's not. It's going to be based off of, God, I'm going to obey you. I've never seen it before. Maybe I have seen a good prototype of it, but you're telling me this, and I'm going to obey you. I'm just going to follow you. I don't know how it looks. Faith is that way too. Amen? Let me continue here. I want our church to always move forward by faith. You know, that's why we serve when we're tired. That's why we serve when we don't feel well. You know what I mean? That's why we still serve regardless of who comes or who doesn't. Regardless of who wants to be here, who doesn't, you know, that's why we have this saying, and I think it's a coping mechanism for me and my wife, but people come and people go. It's not that we don't care for people, but it's kind of like, you know, people that have been in ministry, you understand, you know, people come into your life and then they leave and it hurts. It really does. But you have to understand, I still have to be faithful to God, right? I still have to be faithful to what God has called me to do. And that's all you can do. Hang on to his promises. Amen? That's all you can do. And then, when you hang on to his promises, guess what happened? And it's the neatest thing. And I know we say, I believed it. But then when it happens, it's like, oh, I believe it. It becomes a reality. You see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so, I'm just trying to encourage us. Faith always doesn't just say, hey, wait and see. Faith is basically spoken by God. And then we obey. We just prepare. I know that's difficult to kind of grasp, but those of you that have been in ministry, I think you can understand what I'm talking about. Basically, faith never asks. Okay, it really doesn't. It never says, if I have faith in God, I wonder if it's going to work. That's not what faith does. If you have faith, you're going to be like, it's going to work. How? Oh, I don't know. That's on God, right? That's the part where... it's interesting. So I want us to understand that If God has spoken, we just need to obey, right? We need to prepare for it. And that's how it works. You say, Pastor, why? Because God already has it ahead of us. We just need to be on the same page with God. Amen? I'm not trying to build on a guess. I'm not trying to bring our church to build on a guess or on a feeling or on a desire. No. No, we're building on promises. God promised. That's different, my friends. Here's the third point, and we'll be done. Expansion is a stewardship issue, not a pride issue. Isaiah 54:3, I'm going to read this portion. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Amen? And to me, I notice it's not like one direction, right? I don't see that. I see that he's spreading the people wherever the need is. So, for instance, in our church, it might not be just one area where it's growing. Amen? It might be in the children's ministry where it's growing. It might be in the teen ministry, the youth ministry where it's growing. It might be in the couples, in the adult ministry where it's growing. We can't pick and choose. And I notice it's not directional, but we need to be good stewards of that growth. We need to prepare for that growth. Follow me? Wherever that growth is happening, we should get it to that place where we should say, you know what? I need a plan for this. I can't be too proud and say, hey, look at us. We accomplished something. We don't have time for that. You can't soak in that victory. Or you say, Pastor, you mean I can't enjoy the growth? You can enjoy it, but please don't get distracted by it. It's not the priority. The numbers have never been the priority. Praise the Lord, God does love numbers. He made a book about it. But he's more concerned with the sort and the kind of work that we do. Growth might happen with the couples in our church, but then again, God might change it, and then, boom, we have a baby boom in the nursery. We don't know where the growth is going to happen. Amen. Don't get nervous. But we don't know. We don't know. We're going to have an Awana program. We don't know what that's going to bring. I don't know. It might add to our Thursday. I don't know. You follow me? All I know is I need to be prepared for that, because I notice here there's really no direction. God is saying, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. So expansion and growth, I don't think it's directional. I guess it is. But he's spreading the people where the need is. Amen? That's basically what I see. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is what? Least. Is faithful also in what? Much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in what? Man, is that true? Amen? It's a simple principle here that Jesus is teaching. He that is faithful, man. Listen, God is already watching how we handle things. This is the truth. People, when they look at us, might say, well, that's a small church. I'm okay with that. This is God's church. But why should God give us more? Not because of our size, but why should he give us more if we're not taking care of what we have now? Why should God give us more if we're not even being prepared for what he's going to add? It just doesn't make sense. Because it says, he that is faithful in that which is what? Least. Is faithful also in what? Much. Man, that's a good truth. See, God doesn't bless talent or... He blesses faithfulness. And that's biblical, right? And I want you to understand that preparation is part of faithfulness. I want you to know that when we're faithful with a small space that God has given us, amen? And I'm not going to say our congregation is small, because to me, spiritually speaking, I know we have spiritual giants here, so I couldn't call you small. And I know that, you know, one time this was mentioned, you know, we have Larry Bird sitting on the bench, amen? But it's true, spiritually speaking, I know many of y'all have been in ministry, and many of y'all can do great things. So I wouldn't call our people small, but what I'm trying to tell you is that if we're not taking care of the small space God has given us, why do we expect God to give us something more? I'm just a manager. I'm not even the owner of this. You follow me? We should never get to that place where we think we're the owner. We're just managers. We're stewards. So none of this belongs to us. You say, Pastor, well, who does it belong to? God. Why shouldn't I be faithful to God's people? Why should I not be faithful to God's word? Why should I not be faithful to God and prepare whatever he's going to bring our way? Our buildings, our resources, our people, our opportunities, guess what? They're all God. They're entrusted to us. It's not that we earn it. I mean, yeah, I guess we can earn it, but it's God giving us these opportunities. So when God allows growth, the question is not, well, do we want more? That's not the right question. I'm not the owner. I've asked that before, by the way. And I didn't feel good. Like, I felt awkward, sick to my stomach. Here's the thing, the right question, because I got convicted, can God trust me with more? Yeah. And I think that's really the truth. Can God trust us with more? I just want you to understand that expansion, or when we build, it's not about showing off. What it really is about, God, can I handle the blessings, the responsibility well? Can I be the type of child of God that can handle it well, responsibly? I just want us to understand, when a family grows, you know, you don't just move to a bigger house to brag, right? You really move to a bigger house to what? Accommodate the family, correct? That's the whole point here, and that's the truth that I'm trying to let us know. Again, God often commands preparation before he sends the people. And I really like the Luke 16, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Because, again, it's just part, preparation is part of faithfulness. Now, Pastor, okay, I get it. We're growing, and how does that even apply? Well, it applies to every area of our life, if you think about it. When I'm responsible, it grows my capacity. And I think my kids are learning that. They work at Mickey D's, and praise the Lord, you know, God's blessing them, you know, giving them whatever, positions or whatever. But you know what comes with that position? It's not so much the pay, because the pay is nothing, amen? I mean, I know you're doing great. You're doing great. But you know what comes with that position? Responsibility. That the capacity grows. That's why, I'll be honest with you, Bear Chuck, I don't want to grow, because I know it's more. But then I got sick to my stomach, yeah, because I've been called. And so it's like saying, I don't want my children, too many children. We had six. I can't do that. You follow me? It's like, God, can you trust me with this responsibility? And I'm hoping you get the heart of this. God's bringing the growth, and really the question we need to ask, God, can you trust us with this responsibility to reach our community for Christ? I'll be honest, I told my wife this too. I don't want to lose the closeness. I don't want to lose the family touch. I don't. But then I think the reason I felt sick was because it's like I was telling God, I don't want your blessing. Or I don't want what you have in store for us. And God convicted me because he made me realize, Zeke, you're not the owner. You're just the manager. We need to be in the mindset of, you know what? Even when, in real life, when employees get promoted, they're given extra tasks, right? More responsibilities. That's just the system. That's the way life is. I truly believe because we're faithful, that's why we're growing. Who are the people that get those positions most of the time? People that are faithful, they can depend on, right? That show up. I'm bringing this to a close. This is the same way God operates. This is the same way. Expansion is not, I don't think, necessarily a pride move. I think it's a test. What do you mean? Can I trust you? That's how I look at it. God is saying, I trust you because you've been faithful to this point. Let's not wipe that away. Amen? With our families, this is the same. He's giving you a family. Just don't tell God and say, I don't want my family. Just say, he's asking you, it's a test, can I trust you? And say, God, you can trust me. I'm uncomfortable. I don't know what I'm doing. God, like Solomon, I don't know how to go in or out the door. I need your wisdom. And can I tell you something? It's the test. So for us, we just need to make sure we're faithful and we prepare for his growth. Amen? That is making room. When God asks for room, we should be willing to say, God, you can trust me. I don't have to like it. I don't feel comfortable. But I understand pain comes with growth. And if you're entrusting me, I'm going to manage it the best to my ability with your help. And that's what we're trying to do here tonight. Amen? Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this.